RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news, commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Syed Agil re-elected as the NU chairman. Bali to host World Indigenous People Day 2015. Bank Indonesia optimistic Indonesian economy will grow at the end of 2015. Now the news in detail. Syed Agil Siraj has been re-elected to lead the country's largest Islamic organization, Nahdlatul Ulama NU, until 2020. During the plenary meeting of the NU Executive Council for electing a new leader in Jomban Town Square on Tuesday, Syed collected 287 votes, followed by Asad Ali with 107 votes and Solahuddin Wahid or Gus Shola with 10 votes. As reported by Antara News Agency, the newly elected NU chairman is set to focus on social agenda during his leadership. Syed added that he would try to get and support NU's ideology of an Islam that was tolerant and democratic and transmit this message to younger generation to prepare them for the uncertain future ahead. The Alliance of Archipelago Indigenous People, AMAN, will hold the PID event to commemorate the World Indigenous Peoples Day in Bali on August 9, 2015. AMAN's Deputy Secretary General, Ruka Simbolingki, stated during a press conference in Jakarta on Wednesday that the World Indigenous People Day was established by the United Nations and is commemorated as an international day every August 9th. Meanwhile, the celebration of the World Indigenous People Day in Indonesia will be held across the nation through Archipelago Festival held on August 8 until 17, which will also coincide with the Independence Day celebration in Indonesia. The event will be held at Mount Batu, Bali, which has been recognized as the World Heritage and one of the global geoparks designated by UNESCO. Bank Indonesia is optimistic that Indonesian economy will improve in the second semester of 2015. According to Chief Representative of Bank Indonesia for North and South America, Sugeng, Indonesian economic growth is still constrained by the low budget affected use for infrastructure development. Besides, Indonesia is also constrained by the decrease of people's purchasing power, as well as the decline of global economy, which affected export activity within the country. However, according to Sugeng, such condition will be recovered in the second semester along with the increasing of budget-affected use in the National Development Program and the implementation of infrastructure improvement projects that link to the increase of people's purchasing power. Bank Indonesia project Indonesian economic growth will reach 5 to 5.4%.
Kami di Bank Indonesia masih mempunyai optimis bahwa di kuartal di semester kedua ini ekonomi kita akan meningkat.
Bank Indonesia is optimistic that during the second semester our economy will improve. The government's spending as well as the implementation of infrastructure projects soon will be realized and that will lead to domestic demand increases. We projected the economic growth in 2015 between 5 to 5.4%. It may lower than the government's projection.
Jadi kita proyeksikan tahun 2015 15 itu pertumbuhannya itu akan sekitar 5-5.4%. Mungkin lebih rendah dari proyeksi pemerintah ya.
Furthermore, Sugeng explained that even rupiah is affected by the strengthening of the US dollar, but such effect is still smaller than that of other countries, namely Malaysia, Turkey, South Africa, and Brazil. Rupiah volatility level is also considered lower than countries mentioned to ensure the stability of investment climate within the country. Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi in the near future is scheduled to visit Indonesia. This was stated by President Special Envoy to the Middle East Countries and Organization of Islamic Conference, OIC, Alwi Shihab in Cairo, Egypt on Saturday afternoon. According to Alwi, when he was handed a letter from President Joko Widodo related to the invitation of the 60th anniversary of the Asian African Conference in Bandung last April, President el-Sisi said he would pay a visit to Indonesia. As a friendly country, he said the two countries need to enhance cooperation in the economic field in particular.
President Sisi, waktu saya bertemu.
When I met President Sisi, when handing a letter from President Jokowi to invite him to come to Bandung, President Sisi promised that he would come to Indonesia. Invited or not, Sisi said he would invite himself to come to Indonesia because he saw Indonesia as a country which is close to Egypt, but it needs to be increased, especially in the economic field.
Khususnya di bidang ekonomi.
Meanwhile, Trade Attaché of Indonesian Embassy in Cairo, Burman Rahman, said that in the first quarter of this year for the value of trade between Indonesia and Egypt, Indonesia experienced a surplus of about $100 million. Indonesia's export was the largest, deriving from palm oil sector along with their derivatives. Today, Indonesian preppy entrepreneurs had built an instant noodle factory with a turnover more than 1 million packs a day. Soil importers did not indicate any goodwill during the meeting held with land and farmers at home. This was affirmed by Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujastuti. Minister Susi admitted that she could understand the reason for the importers' behavior, as the quality of soil produced by farmers was not good. However, they should control their imports to prevent an influx of imported soil during the country's soil harvest season. In addition, the Minister of Trade regulates when soil imports can be carried out. Moreover, the minister stated that importers earn considerable profit. For instance, soil from Australia costs 500 rupiah per kilogram, whereas the price of soil in domestic market is around 750 rupiah to 1,500 rupiah per kilogram. She also pointed out that if they did not pay attention to this issue, soil businesses at home will only import the products. This will reduce the interest on various sides in investing in and working to advance the domestic soil business. The last item, state-owned oil and gas company PT Pertamina is confident that the new Round 90 fuel Pertalite can take over 30% of the premium fuel market share. However, Marketing Director of Pertamina Ahmad Bamban said on Wednesday that the prediction can only apply on gas stations that sell Pertalite. Ahmad made his statement following the decreasing trend of global crude price. He hoped that in the future, Pertalite will be able to control 20% of the national fuel market. Ahmad claimed that the average sale of Pertalite have reached 4.6 kiloliters per day. The number was derived from sales data in 101 gas stations currently. Currently, Pertamina is planning to distribute the Pertalite in other gas stations across the country. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled Looking for Investment Opportunities Through Trade Mission Team. Currently, the global economy is experiencing a slowdown due to global market sentiment and also domestic market in different countries. U.S. economy policy, the economic slowdown in Europe and uncertain prices of the world crude oil can be considered as the triggers. All of these also have the potential to affect the economies of developing countries, including Indonesia. One indication is that the export declines. To deal with these facts, Indonesian government has made various efforts such as diversification of export markets and diversification of export products to boost profit of the exporting destination countries. Some parties believe that this can be one of the best alternatives in effort to prevent a decline in the value of Indonesian exports. President Joko Widodo, through the Minister of Trade, has established a trade mission team aiming to accelerate the realization of the expansion of export markets and improve export performance, especially to countries that are categorized as non-traditional markets, such as the countries in Europe, USA, and Japan. The non-traditional markets are considered more potential for export growth of Indonesian products and services. The trade mission team will look for investment opportunities that can make Indonesia be a production base for export. In addition, the relocation of major companies from Japan, South Korea, and India to Indonesia need to be done. Trade Minister Rahmat Gobel said that his sight keeps embarrassing the countries with large market potential to be developed. Meanwhile, strong ones remain to be maintained. To do this, the role of Indonesian representatives and trade attaché in the countries must be maximized, including Indonesian Trade Promotion Center. It is hoped that this move can support the program by mapping the needs in each country. On the other hand, the Director General of Export Development of the Minister of Commerce, Nuzilia Ishat, explained non-traditional regions that have been studied these days and have the possibility to be a potential market are Africa, Middle East, Central Asia, South America, and South Asia. For the companies that will be relocated, they are engaged in non-oil sectors such as textile products, wood products, rubber, automotive, electronic, and footwear. All of them are included in 10 commodities to be exported to countries of non-traditional. By doing serious efforts, Indonesian export market is expected to become more diverse, so it does not depend on the market itself, but it's able to penetrate markets which have not been explored. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on August 6, 1945, when atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima. In August 1945, during the final stage of the Second World War, the United States dropped atomic bombs on the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The two bombings, which killed at least 129,000 people, remained the only use of nuclear weapons for warfare in history. A uranium gun-type atomic bomb, or Little Boy, was dropped on Hiroshima on August 6, 1945, followed by a plutonium implosion-type bomb, or Fat Man, on the city of Nagasaki on August 9. Little Boy exploded to 1,000 feet above Hiroshima in a blast equal to 12 to 15,000 tons of TNT, destroying 5 square miles of the city. Within the first 2 to 4 months of the bombings, the acute effects of the atomic bombings killed 90,000 to 166,000 people in Hiroshima and 39,000 to 80,000 in Nagasaki. Roughly half of the deaths in each city occurred on the first day. During the following months, large numbers died from the effect of burns, radiation sickness, and other injuries compounded by illness and malnutrition. In both cities, most of the dead were civilians, although Hiroshima had a sizable military garrison. And the next event was in 1960 when UN Secretary General issued a regulation allowing UN troops to enter Congo. Congo gained its independence from Belgium on June 30, 1960. Unfortunately, in the hand of Belgian colonialists, it still remained conflict area in Katanga and ended crisis in Congo only 3 weeks after Patrice Lumumba became Prime Minister. To overcome the crisis, Patrice Lumumba asked the United Nations to handle the crisis. On August 6, 1960, Secretary General of the United Nations, Dag Hammarskjöld, asked Security Council of the United Nations to publish the rule which allowed the United Nations to enter Katanga without interference in domestic affairs of Congo. The step taken by the Hammarskjöld was followed by the adoption of 143 resolutions by the Security Council of the United Nations, which demanded the withdrawal of Belgian troops and called for UN military support to Congolese army. The day after the resolution was made, the UN troops arrived in Congo. And the last important event was in 1997 when Korean Air Flight 801 crashed. Korean Air Flight 801 crashed on August 6, 1997, on approach to Antonio B. Won Park International Airport in the United States territory of Guam. Flight 801 was normally flown by an Airbus A300. Since Korean Air had scheduled the August 5 to 6 flight to transport Guamanian athletes to the South Pacific Mini Games in American Samoa, the airline designated HL7468, a 12-year-old Boeing 747-300 delivered to Korean Air on December 12, 1984, to fly the route that night. The aircraft crashed on Nimitz Hill in Asan, Guam, while on approach to the airport. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with today's focus entitled Facing the ASEAN Economic Community, the Indonesian government is asked to protect its workers. Listener, the Indonesian government must protect Indonesian workers, especially in the ASEAN Economic Community 2015. Labor Tribunal will be the front line in protecting the workforce when the implementation of the ASEAN Economic Community AEC takes effect. A member of Commission 9 of the House of Representatives, Irma Suryani, said the most important protection is to minimize the permit of mass layoffs submitted to the Labor Tribunal. Therefore, according to Irma, Labor Tribunal should tighten requirements for employers proposing layoffs against their workers. The tightening of the licensing may have an impact on the readiness of Indonesia in the face of demographic bonus that has been ongoing since 2012 and the upcoming 2045. Irma reminds that the impact of granting layoffs permit will increase the number of unemployed, so that ultimately resulting in the swelling of the burden of the state in providing employment. Employment sector is a key to a successful regional development. Development will be hampered without labor with competent standards, especially now that foreign workers start to penetrate Indonesia through ASEAN Economic Community AEC in 2015. If not anticipated, the presence of foreign workers could threaten Indonesian labors, causing Indonesia's human resources cannot develop further in the future. A member of Regional Representative Council, Novi Chandra, said the Ministry of Manpower should close companies that employ foreign workers who do not fit the standards. This was done so that there will be no foreign intervention in the form of capital investment and cooperation to Indonesia. And listener, that was Focus.
Listener, it's nice to be with you again. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, to inform you some headlines of national newspaper published in Jakarta on Tuesday 6 of August 2015. Well, let's start highlighting Kompas Daily. In its headline, Kompas writes, state budget is accelerated. President Joko Widodo asked the government's capital spending to be accelerated in the second half of 2015. Amid the condition of slowing economic growth, the government capital expenditure is expected to drive economic growth at least 5% this year. On Wednesday, Central Statistics Agency, BPS, released the second quarter economic growth of 4.67% 2015. The economic growth in the first half of 2015 was by 4.7%. Indonesian gross domestic product GDP in the second quarter of 2015 amounts to 2,866.9 trillion rupiah. Next, Media Indonesia in its headline writes, the government extends again the election registration period. At last, the government follows the option of General Election Commission (KPU) and General Election Supervisory Board (Bawaslu) to extend the registration period of regional head candidates for 7 days. During the period, if there is no additional prospective fare, the government will issue a government regulation in lieu of law or perfu by taking into account the forced emergency aspect. Meanwhile, Republika newspaper writes in its headline, Haider Nasir grabbed majority vote. A total of 2,568 Muktamirin have chosen the composition of members of the Muhammadiyah Central Executive in the 47th Congress in Makassar, South Sulawesi on Wednesday. In the calculation carried out on Wednesday at around 10 p.m. local time, Chairman of PP Muhammadiyah Haider Nasir obtained 1,497 votes. Ilyal Yunahar grabbed only 1,028 votes. In the third place, the chairman of Muhammadiyah, Dahlan Rais, obtained 1,827 votes. Listener, we come to an end with Business Indonesia. In its headline, Business Indonesia writes, the budget absorption is exceeded. Based on the estimate, the growth in gross domestic product in the second quarter of 2015 slowed to a level of 4.67%, the lowest number after the third quarter 2009. However, President Joko Widodo is optimistic that the growth will increase in the second semester 2015. After holding a meeting with the chairman of the state institution in Bogor Palace on Wednesday, President Joko Widodo also said that the achievement of national economic growth depends heavily on the government budget absorption, both at the central and provincial level and district or city. Listener, those were some headlines of national newspaper published today. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Said Agil Siraj has been re-elected to lead the country's largest Islamic organization, Nahdlatul Ulama NU, until 2020. During a plenary meeting of the NU Executive Council for electing a new leader in Jomban Town Square on Tuesday, Said collected 287 votes, followed by Ashad Ali with 107 votes and Salahuddin Wahid with 10 votes. The Alliance of Archipelago Indigenous People, AMAN, will hold a PD event to commemorate the World Indigenous Peoples Day in Bali on August 9. AMAN's Deputy Secretary General Ruka Simbolingi stated during a press conference in Jakarta on Wednesday that the World Indigenous People Day was established by the United Nations and is commemorated as International Day every August 9. Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi in the near future is scheduled to visit Indonesia. This was stated by President Special Envoy to the Middle East Countries and Organization of Islamic Conference OIC, Alwi Syahab, in Cairo, Egypt, on Saturday afternoon. According to Alwi, when he was handing a letter from President Joko Widodo related to the invitation of the 60th anniversary of the Asia-African Conference in Bandung last April, President El-Sisi said that he would pay a visit to Indonesia. Soil importers did not indicate any goodwill during the meeting held with tent and farmers at home. This was affirmed by Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, Susi Pujastuti. Minister Susi admitted that she could understand the reason for the importers' behavior, as the quality of soil produced by farmers was not good. State-owned oil and gas company PT Pertamina is confident that the new Round 90 fuel fertilizer can take over 30% of the premium fuel market share. However, Marketing Director Pertamina Ahmad Bamban said on Wednesday that the prediction can only apply on gas stations that sell fertilizer. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I invite you to Ende Regency in East Nusa Tenggara Province. So, stay tuned. Listener, Sukarno, or is often called Bung Karno, was the first president of the Republic of Indonesia. He was also the first person who raised the concept of Pancasila as the state ideology of Indonesia. Pancasila was born when Sukarno was sitting around breadfruit tree overlooking the Sea of Flores. The breadfruit tree had 5 trunks. From those 5 trunks, the inspiration for the 5 principles of Pancasila emerged. Over time, the breadfruit tree is now dead because the Ende regional government in East Nusa Tenggara realized that the existence of the breadfruit tree is full of history, so it planted new breadfruit tree seedlings that is located exactly the same as the previous 5 breadfruit tree to remember the presence of Sukarno in Ende. Sukarno was then in Ende since he was exiled by the Dutch government. He was a political prisoner from 1934 to 1938. There he had no home, so he stayed in the house of Abdullah Ambulwaru. Located not far from where the breadfruit tree, the house faced east to the Ende port. The 9x18 square meters house had 3 rooms that lined the right side. Also behind the house, there was a room that used by Bung Karno to pray and meditate, and an old well. The house was built in 1927. It was since 1954 the house has been officially turned to be a museum. Because the house has history, it is visited by many local and foreign tourists. Entering the house used by Bung Karno or Sukarno when he was in exile, you are required to sign the guest book and pay 2,500 rupees for tickets. Past the double-leveled doors, you will get into the living room. In the living room, there are Sukarno's wicker chairs and a round table commonly used for entertaining guests. On the walls of the house, there are several photos of Sukarno with family and friends, and Sukarno's painting, painted by Avfandi. There are also paintings of Pura Bali made in 1935. Bung Karno or Sukarno's hand painting is a form of respect to his mother, originating from Bali. In the painting, the temple has a sloping roof. There are 4 people praying. They are Muslims, Christians, Hindus, and Buddhists. This metaphor implies Indonesian people of different religions, but still live in harmony. In this house, there is also a showcase. Inside, there are 2 wooden sticks normally carried by Sukarno. The sticks used by Sukarno when meeting with the Dutch is in this government. It also saved the manuscript of Sukarno's works. During in Ende, Sukarno or Bung Karno generated 13 Tamil scripts. Tamil manuscripts were used by Bung Karno to rekindle the spirit of the people for independence. During in the exile in Ende, Sukarno or Bung Karno, the Dutch government monitored every activities did by Sukarno. Every 7 a.m. before doing the activities, he had to report to the headquarters of the Netherlands. He also should not go within a radius of 8 kilometers. In addition to painting and making manuscripts, Bung Karno filled his time by brooding under a breadfruit tree. The breadfruit tree was located on the ground which has now become a park named Pancasila Park. This place overlooks the Sawu Bay, which has calm sea and surrounded by green hills. From contemplation, besides getting an idea of Pancasila, Bung Karno realized that passion for achieving independence could not be stopped and cannot be separated from the will of the universe. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic The South House of Bung Karno in Ende. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa and bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Today's edition takes you to find out about an event called Westerling in South Sulawesi. Indonesia has announced its independence in 1945 indeed. However, there were many things happened after the independence of Indonesia. The struggle of the Indonesian nation still continued. It was difficult to get the world recognition on the independence of Indonesia. Various attempts were done to topple the Indonesian nation to the Dutch and its allies. One of tragic events to obtain the independence of Indonesia is Westerling. Westerling massacre is an event of civilians murdering in South Sulawesi committed by Dutch soldiers named Depot Special Light Topen, led by Raymond Pierre Paul Westerling. It happened in December 1946 to February 1947 during the rebel military operation. The history tells that this event happened in stages. Three stages of attacks to the Indonesian nation were done with full consideration. The first action of DST, Special Troops Operation, began at night ahead of December 12, 1946. The target was Batua village and some small villages in the east of Makassar, and Westerling himself led the operation. The Dutch soldiers started looking for extremists, burglars, criminals, and killers. Then Westerling launched threat to the people, replaced head of the village, and formed village police to protect the village from rebels, terrorists, and burglars. After the area around Makassar was cleaned, the second stage began on December 19, 1946. The target was Polobangkeng in the south of Makassar, where according to the report of the Dutch intelligence, there were around 150 national military 10I troops and about 100 armed forces. The third stage was launched on December 26, 1946 to Goa, and it was done three times on December 26, December 29th, and January 3rd, 1947. In this step, the SD Special Troops coordinated with the Royal Dutch East Indian Army, KNIL. It left 257 civilians dead. To provide more space for Westerling, on January 6, 1947, General Simon Spoor set emergency situation in South Sulawesi. People's massacre with such a pattern kept going on in many places. Westerling not only led the operation,
but also shut down the people who were accused of terrorists, robbers, or killers. In addition, in the last actions, not all terrorists, robbers, and killers who were massacred based on the date from intelligence service, but also random people who were in prison because of various causes. S.C. Kavlar from KNIL military was the witness of massacre in the square in Taniti where 10 or 15 people were killed. He witnessed Westerling himself shot some people dead with his gun. Although it is painful, Westerling massacre is part of the history of the independence of the Indonesian nation. Well, listener, that ends today's miscellany on Westerling massacre. I'm Hernita. Thank you for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, I present you Apollo Band. Well, listener, let's listen to a song entitled Setia by Apollo Band. Here is the song.
Setia, katanya kau setia. Listener, Apollo Band was established on August 5, 2005 with the personnel Wawan, vocalist, Roy, guitarist, Elmi, guitarist, Dewa, bassist, and Dwi, keyboardist. This group does want to be different from most other newcomer bands. Therefore, Apollo is known to have a unique musical genre. According to Wawan, the vocalist, the basic of their music is pop, but has a Latin touch of music, and there is also the influence of Arabic music. Apollo Band also combines Oriental music and blues that makes it different with other bands. After the success of the first single entitled Setia, Apollo Band released the second single entitled Tak Lengkap Tanpamu, It Is Not Complete Without You. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Tak Lengkap Tanpamu by Apollo Band. Have a listening.
Ku lemah tanpamu menyentuh jiwaku yang kering dan tandus penuh debu. Ku hampa tanpamu mengisi mimpiku terangi malam-malam sepiku. Kaulah hidupku yang ada di helai nafasku, mengalir bersama darahku, berdetak di dalam jantungku. Tanpa dirimu ku bagai laut tak berpantai, ku bagai bulan tanpa bintang. Tak lengkap aku tanpamu. Tanpamu
mengalir bersama darahku.
meretak di dalam jantungku. Tanpa dirimu ku bagai laut tak berpantai, ku bagai bulan tanpa bintang, tak lengkap aku tanpamu.
Listener, you just listened to the second song entitled Tak Lengkap Tanpamu by Apollo Band, which offers a cheerful music with lyrics that are easy to remember, plus invites those who listen to it to dance to the rhythm of Latin music that is somewhat has Latin and Mandarin taste of music. This song is also an easy listening, but once heartbreaking, romantic, says Wawan, the vocalist. According to him, Apollo Band tries to remain creative in their work and always interact with their fans to be able to survive. Then, for the following group, I introduce you to a group band. My name is Keisa Band. Keisa is a band from the city of flowers of Bandung, which gains a foothold in the Indonesian music world. Consisting of Martin, vocalist, Agung, guitarist, Iko, keyboardist, and Anki, bassist, My Name is Keisa tries to offer creativity in music. After release, Seandainya Aku Bisa or If I Could album, and the hit single Hingga Nanti or Until Later, the band, which initially idealistic, finally melted after meeting with Pepeng, one of the top guitarists of ST Chualap Group, which becomes the band's producer and provides a lot of good input in the music industry as well as addressing the country today. Well, listener, to conclude our musical program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Hingga Nanti and Mencari Alasan, which was a recycled song that was popularized by the band from the neighboring country, Axis, in a collaboration with the former vocalist Izzat. Have listening and sampai jumpa. Bye-bye.
Selama ini mencintaimu sepenuh hati, janganlah engkau ragu bilang wahai ini. Aku yang selalu menunggu mengharapkanmu menjadi milikku, janganlah engkau ragu bilang wahai ini. Sampai nanti kau ada di sampingku, ku takkan berhenti mencintaimu, tak akan berhenti menyayangimu hingga nanti kau jadi milikku sampai nanti akhir hidupku.
sampai nanti. Kau tak di sampingku, ku takkan berhenti. Mencintaimu tak akan berhenti. Menyayangimu hingga nanti. Kau jadi milikku sampai nanti. Akhir hidupku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Seringkali disalah hati. Tulusnya cinta tidak pernah engkau hargai. Berlalu pergi dengan kelukaan ini. Ku mengalah, ku bersabar.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.